Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City. We have an audience that's worldwide. We're almost in every country in the world. Please keep sending us your suggestions, your comments, and your insights. We value them. You can also listen to this program by telephone, as more than 12 million minutes of listening time has been done by calling a phone number. Let me give it to you. Please keep it, because if you're ever traveling, if you're ever in a location not near your normal radio or your computer, you can tune right in. That number is 712-432-7231, 712-432-7231. And you can watch today's program by going to Ustream channel, then search for Gary Null. Today, the latest on health and healing, some good news for those of you looking to conceive if you've been infertile. Also, really good news for people who would like a little home testing kit, something that's inexpensive, small, accurate, easy to use, brand new. I'll share that with you. Also, they finally got around to doing a meta-analysis. 40 separate trials. And wow, I'll share with you the insights on the greater sugar intake and what it does to you. Also, cardiovascular risks overlook in anti-diabetes drug trials. That's a bad thing. Zinc can help prevent a condition. Black cumin seed oil can help a condition. Purpose-driven life reduces death. That's good. And also, a study links diabetes and pancreatic cancer. Well, that's bad, but it's good to know that. Also, the active compound in green tea could reduce pancreatic cancer risk. And an intense exercise is linked to what? Not good. I'll go into it. Plus more. Newest on how breast implants can cause a rare lymphoma. Then from our environmental segment today, following the Great March, and I want to thank all the people who participated in it, we had three groups of people come to our office here on 83rd and Broadway. We had one early, and they were all given lots of thousands of DVDs on our Seeds of Death documentary to take and distribute, network to small groups, grassroots groups, school teachers, someone who could show it in school, people involved in community action groups. Another group came at 9, another group came at 10, the last group came at 10:30. Even that group was huge. We have photographs of our group participating up on my Facebook page. You can go there and take a look. Well, I'm going to share about the ecological disaster that no one sees. No one's talking about. And we're going to share this. This is from Richard Schiffman on Truthout. Then we're going to take a look at Chris Hedges' commentary on the coming climate revolt. Chris Hedges, Truthout. If time permits, the vaccine truths that you're not told. And we're going to hear from Ken O'Keefe on the truth behind Syria. We're going to start doing a series of programs, a special investigative programs on the truth behind our policies. For example, you think Rwanda is what you've seen in 5 different movies and documentaries. It is not. Yes, there was massive slaughter, but at least half the slaughter were not the Tutsis, they were the Hutu, yet the Hutu was blamed for all of it. Now we will deconstruct everything you thought was true about Rwanda and show you who was really behind it, the cast of characters, the proof of that, international research investigations, and how it's all been covered up. We'll also, today, talk about Syria, the truth behind Syria, because everything you're hearing is, we've got to bomb Syria, we've got to get rid of the Assad regime. And what are you going to put in its place? You're going to put in a moderate terrorist organization that you're funding and arming. We'll tell you the truth behind Syria. The real deal U.S. aid to Israel. How much is it? What does it go for? And why is no one objecting? So we have a lot to share. Let's begin. Always we begin with health and healing. And the first up is green tea. Now, green tea has more than 5,000 studies from the independent peer-reviewed journals showing its healing capacity. This is just one more. This is published in the peer-reviewed journal called Metabolics, and it's found that the catechins in green tea, they're called EGCG, and that they're very powerful in a good way. They change the metabolism of pancreatic cancer cells by suppressing the expression of a lactate dehydrogenase enzyme associated with cancer called LDHA. Now that's good because it blocked, in lay language, it's simply green tea, the chemicals in green tea, these catechins blocked this process, hence suppressed the cancer from being able to metastasize. That's really good news. So, what's the takeaway message? We should be consuming a green tea 2 to 3 times a day. Now, you can flavor it. You can put a little drop of stevia in it. You can put vanilla stevia, cinnamon stevia, orange stevia. There's all kinds of flavored stevia. And stevia is one of nature's most perfect sweeteners. It has a medicinal value. It has 0 calories, and it's at least 70 times sweeter than sugar. So it only takes one single drop to sweeten a whole beverage. And that way you can have a different flavor green tea throughout the day. Get the decaffeinated green tea. Next up is the zinc, and you don't require a lot of zinc. 15 milligrams, 20 milligrams is fine. But they looked at 80 different studies, randomized studies, controlled studies, 205,000 boys and girls between the age of 6 months and 12 years were reviewed, and this was published by the Cochrane Library, which is one of the most respected, if not the most respected, group of independent scientists in the world, and they found that that zinc, even small amounts, prevents death in malnourished children. Wow. Think of the consequences. Instead of giving dangerous vaccines for malnourished kids in Africa, we should be giving them a simple supplement of zinc and vitamin D and vitamin C, and that would save millions of children from dying. So that's good news, and there's the proof of it. 80 studies prove it, 200,000 kids. Also, I was counseling a couple on Friday who have tried everything. They've been to every fertility clinic to try to become pregnant. He is 60, she is 43, and they have had no success. I put them on a very specific protocol, and he said, "What's this in this particular protocol? Well, I've never heard of this. Why would this be important?" And I said, because it's known to help infertile women and men. And in particular, let's say a woman is in her late 40s, even 50s, and wants to become pregnant, even no longer has her period. And please remember this. I've said this 100 times. I've written about it in my For Women Only book, the 1,600-page book I did with Barbara Seaman, a leading feminist, and Women's Health Solutions, another 600-page book I wrote for women. You can become pregnant even though you're no longer having your period. And for about an 8-year period, you can. It depends upon the woman. I've seen it as long as 10 years. So we have this myth that the moment you cease your period, you can no longer become pregnant. That is not true. And especially in perimenopause. But if you want to become pregnant, one of the ways is by taking black cumin seed oil. Because black cumin seed oil improves abnormal sperm quality in men, which is very important. and it also helps women turn off inflammation all over the body. It is one of your most important, if not the most important, oil you can take. It is a measure better than coconut oil, which is a phenomenally important oil. And that is a measure better than olive oil or flaxseed oil. So you're dealing with very healing oil. Anyone who has heart disease, cancer, arthritis, macular degeneration, diabetes, neuropathy, psoriasis, sclerosis or hepatitis, herpes, you should all be taking black cumin seed oil every day, 2 to 3 times. The peer-reviewed journal Phytomedicine published the results of a clinical trial that revealed that black cumin seed oil, Nigella sativa, markedly boosts semen quality, mobility, volume, with no adverse effects. And this was done at the PAMI, Noor University, and in Tehran. So, my suggestion, if you're having trouble with infertility in a couple, the black cumin seed oil can make a big difference. Also, I always start all protocols with motivation. If you're, in effect, starting over in life, you want a new direction, what you're doing is not working for you, then you have to have several elements present. Motivation, something that has inspired you, maybe someone else, something you've seen, read, heard, experienced. A discipline, a spiritual discipline, to stay focused, keep your priorities in focus, and then take the steps necessary to prepare yourself for this journey. Then when you're on that journey, don't allow distractions, even if they're comfort distractions from your previous chapter of life. And that's how I find that people are able to stay on a healthy program and go forward without always looking for security. We are always, as a society, individuals are certainly capable of being beyond this, but most people, everything they do has to have security locked in. And yet the choices we need to make in life frequently challenge our security. In other words, to be really honest, sometimes you have to risk being secure. Think of the doctor that says, we've been doing all these procedures that are unnecessary or overbilling, and this is unethical, it's immoral, and it's dangerous to the patient, and it's bad for society and for our profession. The high probability is that doctor would be excluded from the hospital, the medical team, they would be persona non grata. The police officer says that we've got to stop all this over-policing, stopping people, stop and frisk. It's not right. We all know it's racial profiling, it's highly discriminatory, and it ruins people's lives. That cop would end up shunned or avoided or put upon by other police. So when you want to be truly honest about something, understand with all honesty there is a sacrifice. I've never seen honesty without a sacrifice, but it doesn't mean it has to be perceived as a negative. It's just you have to be prepared for it. So when you're not afraid of the consequences of being honest and true to a higher value, then you are purpose-driven. Here's the latest from the journal Psychological Science. They linked having a purpose in life to reduce risk of premature death. Quote, having a purpose in life has been cited consistently as an indicator of healthy aging for several reasons, including its potential for reducing mortality risk. In the current study, we sought to extend previous findings by examining whether purpose in life promotes longevity across adult years. We evaluated 6,000 men and women enrolled in the midlife in the United States study and uncovered an association between a greater sense of purpose and a reduced risk of dying over a 14-year follow-up. Quote, our findings point to the fact that finding a direction for life and setting overarching goals for what you want to achieve can help you live longer, regardless of when you find your purpose, end quote. Let me give you an example of that. Lou Anne Panessi, a nurse that you've heard many times on this program, and who helps with all of our health support groups, when I first met her, she was stuck, as so many tens of millions of Americans are, into a very secure, a very rewarding, financially, lifestyle as a nurse administrator of Long Island Jewish Hospital. She had been an oncological cancer nurse prior to that. But on the other side of it, she states that she was drinking a dozen or more cups of coffee a day, eating cold pizza. She had no proper balance in her social life and took no real quality time for herself. Meditation, yoga, bonding with nature were simply not in that schedule. She also suffered from multiple conditions. Many of those conditions, including hepatitis B and cancer in the breast and ovaries, and mycoplasma infections, like which is a form of pneumonia in the lungs, would have caused her death 20 years ago. By seeing a reality outside of anything she'd ever experienced, meaning healing, that was not medically based, but it was naturally based. She came as a critic, a skeptic, and I never will forget at night at the Tri-State Healing Center, about 7 o'clock she would show up, having driven in from Long Island, and she just wanted to sit with patients, talk with them, review their records, with her permission, of course, talk with the doctors, review the protocols to see if there was anything that could assuage her skepticism, because she had been told this is all quackery, this is nonsense, you can't cure people who are stage 4 cancer with nutrition, it's not possible. She also was speaking with hundreds of persons with full-blown AIDS. We had over 1,200 people with full-blown AIDS that I was working with, creating protocols with. It took her nearly a year of being there 5 days a week, and sometimes all day on Saturday, before it finally hit her that this was real. This was not placebo. This was real. The intravenous vitamin drips, the ozone, and the homeopathic therapies, the zeolites, the juicing, the hypnotherapy with Michael Elner and Jacob Bimblich, the guided vision therapy, the Ericksonian therapy by Lloyd Glauberman. By the way, Lloyd Glauberman, I found out, is still in practice over in Central Park in 86th Street. I was just told that last night by someone who had met him. And Lloyd is just one of the finest psychoanalysts ever in the United States. I thought he'd retired. He hasn't retired, so good for him. And he lives a holistic lifestyle. That's probably why he's still practicing. But he created the holistic protocols that were used in the stress management part of it. So she saw all this stuff was real. It worked. Now you've got a choice. You know the truth that is a universal truth, that the body is capable of healing if you give it the right milieu, if you give it the medium, if you give it the input, it can heal. But if you're only looking at a drug or surgical procedure or radiation to heal any condition, it's limited, or it doesn't work at all, or it actually makes the patient more susceptible. So one day, there was that turning, where now she was in a void. She no longer believed in the certainty of the medical paradigm she'd been trained and lived through and was secure in, and yet she had not mastered anything new. And I remember having a conversation with her, and I said, now you need a new purpose. You're starting a journey. You're starting a new chapter. Have a new purpose. Let the purpose drive you. And that's what she did, to become a holistic nurse. Now, that's what all of the people in any field need. That's what many of you need now, a new purpose. But you can't have a new purpose and hold on to the old purpose. You can't have a new freedom and hold on to the old securities. You can't have a new awareness and yet be living in denial of truths from your old. You got to surrender. You got to cut the umbilical cord at some time. And that means there will not be any certainties. There will not be any securities. There will just be you and the moment you're in. Scary, yes, but very fruitful, you bet. A new study shows that there is a link, a direct link, between diabetes and pancreatic cancer. This is in the Annals of Surgical Oncology. They found that people with diabetes have 200% greater risk of pancreatic cancer compared to those who don't have diabetes. And they analyzed 88 separate studies over a 25-year period to come up with that. Now, we've known that diabetes has long been associated with pancreatic cancer, but it hasn't been clear which conditions came first. Now they'll tell you, the diabetes comes first. Pancreatic cancer comes from it. One more reason to get serious about changing your lifestyle and your diet, because you can reverse adult diabetes. Also, there's a new home healthcare diagnostic tool. It's a miniature medical lab that's small enough to hold in your hand, and it'll soon, it's not available just now, but in the very near future, within probably the next 6 months, it'll be available. It's for about $300, and it'll test you for testosterone, vitamin D, the flu virus, luteinizing hormones, which indicates woman's fertility, and C-reactive protein, which serves as a marker of inflammation. And that could save you a lot of money. More importantly, it could also help you know whether or not you actually have the flu. So that's a nice little test coming. And that's good. And finally today, a major study published in The Lancet, Diabetes and Endocrinology, University of Glasgow, found as to why heart disease is rarely considered in clinical trials regarding glucose-lowering drugs. And they found that hospitalization for heart failure is a common and important cardiovascular complication of diabetes. And continues, and increasing evidence shows that some glucose-lowering drugs increase the risk of heart failure. So just understand this. Here's what Professor Murray says, quote, "Fortunately, some trials in progress are taking heart failure into account as secondary outcomes, but many others are neglecting to report this important complication as a key trial outcome. Until heart failure is systematically evaluated in clinical trials, the cardiovascular safety of antibiotic drugs, anti-diabetic drugs, will remain uncertain." Now, in lay language, what he's saying is this. You take a diabetic drug, and then you end up with heart disease. But they're not looking at the drug as the cause of the heart disease. And they should be. Because the drug itself is a cause of heart disease. So that associates a drug you're taking with a killing disease. Now, if they had been taking this into account, then a lot of these drugs would never have made it onto the market. It would be like taking a sinus drug to clear up your sinus that creates brain tumors. Who would take it? Nobody would take it. And that's also true for this. Also, magnesium lowers your C-reactive protein, especially in pre-diabetics, of which there are about 60 million. This is published in the Archives of Medical Science, Medical Research. About 380 milligrams of magnesium versus a placebo for 3 months, and you saw the benefits of magnesium in lowering the very bad C-reactive protein. Also, the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition details the findings of the New Zealand research that the higher blood pressure and higher cholesterol was those who consumed the most sugar. The more sugar you consume, the higher blood pressure, the higher cholesterol. There were 1,699 men in it. They looked at 40 trials, and so that's it. So anyone defending the sugar industry, stop. It doesn't work. And also be very careful about over-intense exercise. Now, I'm opposed to over-intense exercise. And I've said this many times. Remember, I gave you the example of one of the guys I knew that just kept running fast every day. And I said, why? You know, because you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to prematurely age your cells. So the rule is exercise to keep your cardiovascular system, your percentage of body fat in check, keep your enzymes flowing, your hormones flowing in a good way. All that comes from exercise. But don't create highly intense exercise, because if you do, you run the risk of AFib, afibrillation, or atrial fibrillation, which can lead, not in healthy people, because it's just in a regular beat of the heart. It'll go beat, 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 then it'll go beat, then beat, 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 beat. And you can correct that. You can correct it frequently with L-carnitine, 1,000 to 1,500 milligrams, magnesium, about 1,000 milligrams, and then hawthorn at about 500 milligrams, and then vitamin E at 800 units, and then do some sit-ups, and that really helps. And I've seen a lot of people reverse it. But I'm just telling you this for those of you who are intensely exercising. They did some research at the Karolinska Institute, analyzing 44,410 men between 45 and 79, and there was a high risk. It was 19% were more likely to have an irregular heartbeat because of this. And the risk level rose to 49% if you worked out for intensely for 5 hours a week. So just be aware that exercise, yes, absolutely, hour a day, but don't do it intensely unless you're training and unless you're being monitored. That's the right way of doing it. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
On the oceans and upon high seas, fish full of mercury.
Coming up in a few moments, the coming climate revolt. Also, we're going to hear from Ken O'Keefe on the truth about us being in Syria, USAID to Israel, the real deal, and a lot more. But I have something really exciting to share with you. And this is, there were times when we didn't think it was possible. I have something brand new that I have invented, and I don't have a lot of it. In fact, it's just arriving in about an hour from now here in our office. I only have 400 jars. We did dozens and dozens of taste tests, and they kept giving me all the reasons why it wasn't right. I kept changing formula. I wanted something that has not been out there before, something absolutely unique, something that would be better than green stuff or red stuff, greens and grains or supremacy, something that would be, in my opinion, the pinnacle of health promotion. But I couldn't master it until about 3 months ago. Then I changed how I was putting it together. And this is what you have to do. This is what no one sees. No one sees all the effort that goes into writing a book, producing a documentary. You don't see that I was upstairs after working yesterday for 9 hours, just on the video alone, editing for the new documentary. You'll see the final finished film. You don't see what went into it, the producing of it, the traveling on the road, you know, for 3 months, every day. And you don't see what goes into creating a product. But the good news is, it's done. It has been perfected. It's a winner. It's a big jar, 500 grams. It's grape stuff. Grape stuff. As many of you know, I believe that the grape is one of the 10 most perfect foods in nature. I believe it is the basis of one of the founding basis of the Mediterranean program that we hear so much about. When you look at the grape and you look at what's in it, and you look at its individual constituents, you know that it's good. There are over 5,000 studies in the peer-reviewed literature out there on resveratrol, and that's just one of the components, but not the only one. In fact, I just had Jeremy at my office get me the prices of just resveratrol, $46 from one company, respected company. That's just for one product, one ingredient. Well, here's what I put in grape stuff. First, it's only 56 calories. There's only 1 gram of natural sugar from the grape, nothing else. There's 10 grams of fiber. That's a whole lot of fiber in a single serving. There's no cholesterol, no fats. Grape seed extract. In and of itself, that is a superfood. Grape skin extract. In and of itself, that's a superfood. Whole grapes. Resveratrol. Apple fiber. What I've been telling you for a long time, I get the apple fiber. I go to the store, I'll have the skin of 4 apples put into a drink. I want that apple fiber. There's a lot in it. Flaxseed, the fructooleosaccharides, the good probiotics, oats, and vitamin C. Now, because you're getting vitamin C in other products, I limited this to 250 milligrams, which is twice as what the average person gets. So there it is. It's non-GMO. It's vegan. It is delicious. You can use it in any beverage. It does not take the place of any other product. It's just the newest, standalone, absolutely spectacular, beneficial, healthy, giving product. And I've been working on this for over 2 years. And it's done. And we have it. And you'll love it. And you'll benefit from it. Now, you notice what I haven't said, and I never do say, and I never will say. I haven't said what it'll do once it gets into your body, into your veins, into your heart, your brains, into your lungs, your liver, and your kidneys. I haven't told you what it'll do. That you can research for yourself. So just Google under scientific grape seed extract, grape skin extract, resveratrol, apple fiber, flaxseed, grapes, oats, FOS, and vitamin C. Synergistically, brought them all together. And that's what you have. There is simply nothing like it. I'm sure that in short order, other people start copying it, but they will probably get a tiny fraction of what I have in here. So I know they're not giving you the potencies that I'm giving you, and that's why this is in a 500 gram by itself bottle, same size as red stuff, green stuff. And mind you, I'm just looking at, just 10 minutes ago, I was handed here, I won't mention the brand, $46 for just resveratrol from another product. All of this in grape stuff you're getting at what we call our continuity price today is an introductory price of $76.99. No one else could do that. Not when they're charging $46 just for resveratrol. And that's not including what is really expensive, which is, and by the way, I have stevia in here. Has a natural grape flavor. It's all natural. I also have some cranberries in here and beets. So that's it. Brand new. First time. And you're getting an introductory offer. You're getting a discount. $76.99. But I only have 400 jars. When they're gone, it'll take till November the 2nd to get more in. Call 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. We're going to ship it right out of our office here at 83rd Street. So don't order anything else with it by itself. 877-627-5065. We only have 400 bottles, and then we'll be out for about 6 weeks till I get the larger run in. But at least I'm excited because I've been using this for about a year. This would be right there. Green stuff, red stuff, greens and grains, berry blast, cruciferous stuff. Now add grape stuff, one of the most perfect foods in nature. But I won't tell you what it does. If I told you what it does, everyone listening would be wanting to get it. Call 877-627-5065. Ask for brand new grape stuff. Non-GMO, vegan, living foods, raw, all natural, grapeseed extract, resveratrol. Got it all in there. Okay? 877-627-5065. And you come over later in the day, you can pick some up from the vitamin closet. We have undergone a transformation during the last few decades, what John Ralston Sowell calls a corporate coup d'etat in slow motion. We are no longer a capitalist democracy endowed with a functioning liberal class that once made piecemeal and incremental reform possible. Liberals in the old Democratic Party, such as the Senators Gaylord Nelson, Birch Baugh, and George McGovern, who I knew, who work with Ralph Nader to make the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, the Mine Safety and Health Act, the Freedom of Information Act, and OSHA law, who made common cause with labor unions to protect workers, who stood up to the arms industry and a bloated military, they no longer exist within the Democratic Party. As Ralph Nader has been lamenting for several years, they were pushed out as corporate donors began to transform the political landscape with the election of Ronald Reagan. And this is why the Democrats have not, as Bill Curry points out, enacted any major social or economic reforms since the historic environmental laws of the early 70s. We are governed, rather, by a species of corporate totalitarianism, or what the political philosopher Sheldon Moland, who you've heard on this program, describes as inverted totalitarianism. By this, Moland means a system where corporate power, while it purports to pay attention to electoral politics, the Constitution, the three branches of government, and the free press, along with the language of American patriotism, has in fact seized all of the important levers of power to render all citizens impotent. The old liberal class, the safety valve that addressed grievances and injustices in times of economic or political distress, has been neutered. There are self-identified liberals, including Barack Obama, and some who have shows on Pacifica, who continue to speak in the old language of liberalism but serve corporate power. This has been true since the Clinton administration. Bill Clinton found that by doing corporate bidding, he could get corporate money, thus NAFTA, the destruction of the welfare system, the expulsion of mass incarceration under the explosion of that system under the 1994 Omnibus Bill, the deregulation of the FCC, turning the airwaves over to a half dozen corporations, and revoking FDR's 1933 Glass-Steagall reform that had protected our banking system from speculators. Clinton, in exchange for corporate money, transformed the Democratic Party into the Republican Party. This was diabolically brilliant. It forced the Republican Party to shift so far to the right, it became insane. By the time Clinton was done, the rhetoric of self-professed liberals was a public relations game. This is why there is continuity from the Bush administration to the Obama administration. Obama's election did nothing to halt the expanding assault on civil liberties. In fact, Obama's assault has been worse. The Bush bailouts of big banks, the endless imperial wars, the failure to regulate Wall Street, the hiring of corporate lobbyists to write legislation and to serve in top government positions, the explosion of drilling and fracking, the security and surveillance state, as well as the persecution of government whistleblowers. This audience is well aware of the Democratic Party's squalid record on environmental conditions, laid out in detail in a new Greenpeace report written by Charlie Cray and Peter Montague, titled The Kingpins of Carbon and Their War on Democracy. The report chronicles what it calls a multi-decade war on democracy by the kingpins of carbon, the coal, the oil, the gas industries, allied with a handful of self-interested libertarian billionaires. The Obama administration, in return for financial support from these kingpins of carbon, has cynically undermined international climate treaties, a fact we discovered only because of the revelations provided by Edward Snowden and WikiLeaks. It uses its intelligence agencies, these revelations revealed, to spy on those carrying out climate negotiations, to thwart caps on carbon emissions, and push through useless, non-binding agreements. The Obama administration has overseen a massive expansion of fracking. It is pushing through a series of trade agreements, such as the TPP and the TAFTA, that will increase fracking, along with expanding our exports of coal, oil, and gas. It authorized the excavation of tar sands in Utah and Alabama. It approved the southern half of the Keystone Pipeline. It has permitted seismic testing for offshore drilling in the Gulf of Mexico, the East Coast, and parts of Alaska, a process that kills off hundreds of sea mammals. It authorized drilling within 4 miles of the Florida coastline, violating one of Obama's 2008 campaign promises. This expansion of offshore drilling reversed 20 years of federal policy. If we appeal to self-identified liberals in the establishment who have no capacity or desire to carry out the radical reforms, we will pour energy into a black hole. And this is what the corporate state seeks. It seeks to perpetuate the facade of democracy. It seeks to make us believe what is no longer real, that if we work within the system, we can reform it, and has put in place a terrifying superstructure to silence all who step outside the narrow parameters it defines as acceptance. The Democratic Party speaks to us rationally. The party says it seeks to protect civil liberties, regulate Wall Street, is concerned with the plight of the working class, and wants to institute reforms to address climate change. But in all these areas and many more, it has, like its Republican counterpart, repeatedly sold out the citizenry for corporate power and corporate profits in much the same way that big green environmental groups such as the Climate Group and the Environmental Defense Fund have sold out the environmental movement. To assume that Obama or the Democratic Party, because they acknowledge the reality of climate change while the lunatic fringe of the Republican Party does not, is better equipped to deal with this crisis is incorrect. Republicans appeal to one constituency, the Democrats appeal to another, but both parties will do nothing, I repeat, nothing, absolutely nothing, to halt the savaging of the planet. Now, yesterday, when thousands of listeners of this program met and you distributed thousands upon thousands of copies of the Seeds of Death, I said we have two ways of looking at today. One is that it'll just be a big party, people able to feel good about themselves by participating in something that on the outside looks really good, but may in fact be absolutely totally worthless if we're not careful. Why? Because if you said, let's do a march against corruption in politics, every corrupt politician would agree, let's do a march. If you did a march about, let's teach our kids how to learn, every teacher, every school would participate, but it doesn't change bad teaching, bad curriculums, or bad student outcomes. You see, these are general platitudes that mean nothing, change nothing. But people then feel that somehow they have liberated themselves to a more conscious place on environmental issues. And at the same time, I said, just be aware of how many people out there will be drinking Coca-Colas, eating McDonald's hamburgers, smoking cigarettes, wearing designer jeans and clothes made in Bangladesh. If they're interested in global warming or climate change, let them be aware that they have to be the example themselves. Go vegan, buy local, support green, and get off the grid. Then it's a worthwhile march. But I don't believe that that's going to happen, so go out and network. Meet with individuals, talk with small groups, get information on them so we can form a coalition of the willing who are actual examples. get all the different things. If you want to have nothing happen, have 5,000 different groups all having their own agenda and all marching. Nothing will happen. But if you work with those people, and let's take one thing at a time, it might be closing down nuclear power. It might be stopping gas hydrofracking. It might be labeling genetically engineered foods in each state. At least we will be focused, organized, and effective. The other day, the program director of the PBS Channel 12 station in Denver chose to play my documentary, Seeds of Death, repeatedly. As a result, the upcoming referendum on labeling GMOs in Colorado, because she's played it repeatedly over the last 12 months, it has swung from very few to the majority now interested in labeling it. I'm happy to hear that. But it's also playing true around the world. So I say, give a copy to people, teachers who will show it in schools. Any school teacher listening who will show a copy of Seeds of Death, anti-GMO, in your school, I'll give you a free copy. You'll call 646-926-5422, leave your name, the school you teach at, what you teach, and we'll send you a free copy. Then let us know when it airs. All environmental movement has to come now from the grassroots, from working together cooperatively, collectively, on an issue at a time. So that's why I believe yesterday a difference was made. Now we're going to go to a segment of the program where we hear from a person that you're not going to hear from in the mainstream media or any of the debates on our foreign policy. Ken O'Keefe. Let's hear from Ken now.
Well, I don't agree at all. First off, how is it possible that anybody with any kind of sanity would consider the United States or Britain or the West in general to be in any kind of position to be punishing anyone for any illegalities? If we want to take a look at Iraq, there is at least 1 million, probably even close to 2 million dead. We invaded that country, destroyed it, created millions of orphans, millions of refugees, and never even so much as apologized for that. Let's go back to Vietnam, where we dropped 20 million bombs, more than all of World War II combined. We have destroyed so many countries. We have tortured and killed and maimed and raped around this planet. Who in the hell in their right mind would consider the United States or the West in general to be in any position to punish anybody? Never mind the obvious facts that this is a false flag attack and a long list of false flag attacks, which let's get into that, please. Well, we don't operate under international law. What we have is the color of law, the law of the jungle, in which the rich and the powerful basically determine what goes and what doesn't go. Iraq is a perfect example of that. Why isn't Tony Blair and George Bush rotting away in a prison cell for the rest of their lives? Because the law is not being applied. These are war criminals, and they should be in prison for the rest of their lives, if not executed, if their own rules were adhered to for their own crimes. Not only that, but we need to really understand the truth here. First off, all of these players, these politicians, are nothing more than puppets. They don't serve the people. There is no real democracy. They really serve the rich and powerful who run the world, and that would be the bankers who control the money supply. The bankers, of course, make huge amounts of money. Whether they make bad investments or not, wars are great for them, and ultimately they control the politicians, and that is why we see these policies. Obama and Cameron are nothing more than puppets who read the script, and the script is we need another war. And the reason why we need another war, according to these psychopaths who are running the world, is because more and more people, despite the clueless masses who continue to be entranced by things so ridiculous as X Factor and American Idol, there is larger numbers of people around the world who are realizing the truth and beginning to recapture the capacity to think for themselves. And they can see that these people who are being put in positions of public trust are defying that trust and representing an agenda which they could never speak about openly because they're nothing more than prostitutes and nothing more than minions for the powers that be. Well, the Greater Israel Project is all about destabilizing surrounding nations, ultimately in pursuit of this dream of Greater Israel from the Euphrates down to the Nile, all the way over to the Eastern Mediterranean. This is the dream of these psychopaths, and so destabilizing governments, creating sectarian strife, is all part of that menu and all part of the design to create Greater Israel. So that goes... it's self-evident. But I have to go back to what this gentleman is saying in Washington, D.C. about America not wanting to get involved or Obama not getting involved. What are you talking about? We have been arming people directly who are Al-Qaeda. Al-Nusra Front is Al-Qaeda. These people are psychopaths to the worst order. They are conducting suicide attacks. They are gassing people. We know Carla Del Ponte said in May that it was the so-called rebels in Syria that were using sarin gas, not the Bashar al-Assad regime. No, it was not. We know that the United States president is arming people who are on the U.S. terrorist list. He should be convicted of aiding and abetting, giving material support to a terrorist organization. But then again, you know what? We, the West, the United States in particular, Israel and Britain, are the biggest terrorists on the planet. So our little junior partners in Al-Qaeda, which is nothing more than a CIA database, thus the name Al-Qaeda, this is nothing more than a group of terrorists working together, each playing one different role, but all of them working together for the same goal, which is to maintain this hideous and sick and twisted, unjust world that we have, which is a perpetual state of war. Always one illusion, one boogeyman after another. But the fact is, Obama is nothing more than a puppet war criminal, just like his predecessor and every other U.S. president before him. So please don't tell people out there that the U.S. is not involved. It's directly involved, and it is arming people who are absolute psychopaths.
Because the United States has never been interested in anything.
Kendall, keep going.
Has never been interested in anything other than war. The United States is in a perpetual state of war because the bankers control the politicians and they read the script as given to them by the banksters and they make huge amounts of money off of this. What this gentleman is saying about the United States not wanting war, not wanting to get involved is like Iraq 2.0. It's a repeat of the same rubbish that was said, oh, we don't want war, war is a last resort. That's absolutely untrue. It's a lie. Those that are in government are nothing more than prostitutes who are carrying out the orders of those who are in charge of them, and those that are in charge want another war. And part of that is what we discussed earlier, the Greater Israel Project, to destabilize any Arab regime which might have any kind of autonomy and self-determination. Any regime in the Arab world that is not an absolute puppet cannot be tolerated. And who are the nations that we target? Those that are not puppets. We don't target those like the Saudi regime, which is the biggest human rights violator in that region. It's cutting off people's heads in public, cutting off hands. It is the most grotesque regime on the planet, and yet we give that regime weapons, and it's no problem whatsoever. The duplicity and hypocrisy of the United States and the West can't even be measured. It is so enormous. And these mouthpieces, such as this gentleman in Washington, is only doing a disservice to himself and his country. And the fact is that American sons and daughters will get involved in this yet again. And these chicken hawks who are pretending to care about the Syrian people are going to be sacrificing not their own sons and daughters. I would like this man to send his sons and daughters and his grandchildren off to Syria when this turns into a greater conflict, because this is what we're flirting with, is a world war, a third world war. This is not a joke. We are flirting with a third world war on the basis that apparently we care so much about the Syrian people, just like we care so much about the Iraqi people and the Afghani people. The only people that buy this sort of stuff are either bought off prostitutes or the dumbest of the dumb. And we're also led to believe that Assad is the dumbest idiot dictator on the planet now, isn't he? Because he invited UN inspectors to come in, and he brought them in on the very day that they come in. He decides to attack his own people 10 miles away from where the inspectors arrive. This is beyond ridiculous. And the only people that buy this, again, are bought off prostitutes or the dumbest of the dumb. Well, there's no question that they don't intend for limited strikes, and that's not going to do anything. They want to go in full scale. That's the plan. Of course, they'll use pretext to be able to justify the initial attack, and then they'll concoct more things to justify a greater involvement. The Daily Mail reported here in the UK, and it's commonly understood to those who are paying attention, that defense contractors, leaked emails from defense contractors, proved that there was already an approved plan from Obama down to give these psychopath terrorists al-Nusra Front chemical weapons. We know that al-Nusra Front, 12 individuals in Turkey were caught with 2 kilos of sarin gas. Where did they get that from? And this is, you know, clearly a false flag. We understand this to be true, and it's the only way that they could justify an attack at all. And I have to say, I'm happy that the gentleman in Washington mentioned Dempsey, General Dempsey of the Joint Chiefs, because I'll tell you what, more than anything else, it is the true American patriots, those who are sick and tired of having given up their life to basically serve the American American dream, the American nation, the Constitution that they swore to uphold. It's those military men and women. It's you now. It's coming to you now. Are you a patriot or are you not? Are you going to let your nation descend even further into the chaos and corruption that has been so sick and so twisted that it's destroying American lives as well as the rest of the world to the tune of 22 American servicemen a day who are committing suicide? Are you going to sacrifice more of your American sons and daughters for Israeli wars, for Zionist wars? Are you going to continue to do that? Because you are not a patriot. You are, in fact, aiding and abetting the terrorists you supposedly think you're fighting against. And those Americans who are waking up to this, I hope to God, in the military in particular, that you refuse your orders. And this is why the people of America who are refusing to buy this nonsense, the overwhelming majority do not support any kind of attack on Syria. And in those in the military, I know that the powers that be are very, very frightened that high-ups within the military will refuse the orders. And I hope this is exactly what happens if an attack on Syria occurs.
Very well. We're going to leave it there. Thank you very much, former U.S. Marine and war veteran there, Ken O'Keefe, talking to us from London.
And now, where we have cities, communities that do not have infrastructure, that do not have functioning schools, that cannot feed the homeless children, that have no place to put homeless Americans, this is what we're giving Israel every single day.
Relationship.
Unprecedented.
So special that Israel gets more than half of all U.S. foreign aid. What kind of aid are we talking about? And more importantly, why does the U.S. keep it flowing? This is the real deal on U.S. aid to Israel. Simply put, the U.S. gives Israel money. Lots of it. To be precise, a grand total of $121 billion and counting. And unlike U.S. aid to most other countries, money to Israel is given primarily to its military. Why?
The security of Israel. Preventing a nuclear Iran and ending the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
But it's a military that has been accused of war crimes by the United Nations and called trigger-happy by Amnesty International. No matter. As foreign policy analyst Stephen Walt puts it,
the United States gives Israel generous diplomatic, economic, and military support, and does so unconditionally, regardless of what it does.
And the support comes in many forms. First, there's the U.S. budget. Congress gives Israel on average $3 billion a year, $3 billion of U.S. taxpayers' money. Uncle Sam also doles out more aid by funding military research programs. In 2014, $504 million went to joint U.S.-Israeli military research and to the development of anti-rocket defense systems. One of those systems, Iron Dome, has cost the U.S. $720 million, a price tag that is going up as we speak. Then there are the additional multi-million dollar weapons deals. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars here. And a billion-dollar U.S. weapons stockpile that Israel can access in times of emergency. All in all, with the U.S.'s help, Israel has one of the most advanced militaries and is one of the top 10 arms dealers in the world. Guess who's one of its biggest customers? The United States. The relationship is lucrative. As Phyllis Bennis of the Institute for Policy Studies says,
well, it started in 1967 after the Six-Day War. When the Pentagon initiated a new relationship, the Israeli military was very powerful. The Pentagon looked at them and said, wow, we could do business with these people. And business became the operative term.
What about non-military aid? USAID has given more to Israel than it has to any other country in the Middle East, helping to build libraries, medical centers, and universities. Talk about friends with benefits. The U.S. says that arming Israel helps protect it from Hamas fighters in Gaza, Hezbollah fighters in Lebanon, and of course, Iran. But Hamas has rockets, and Israel has F-16s. And while Iran has no confirmed nuclear warheads, Israel has an estimated 80. So after all the military aid, is Israel really as vulnerable as the U.S. says it is? And is all this money actually helping to end the Israeli-Palestinian conflict? If it were cut, what might change?
Israel might be willing to rethink the occupation, rethink settlement building, and perhaps get more interested in a two-state solution. Right now, they don't have to compromise because they get backing from the United States no matter what they do.
So what do you think? Is this special relationship worth the price?
To finish off our program, let's go over to Lou Anne Panessi. Hi, Lou Anne.
Hello, Gary.
I'm
here.
Okay. Well, we'll be finishing off our program by reminding people that each and every day you can make a difference. Are you doing the following? If not, would you consider doing the following? going vegan, that will do more to help to limit climate change than anything else. That's if we go vegan and get rid of the animals for human consumption, that's almost 17 to 18% of total gas emissions, methane gas, which is more volatile in the environment than CO2, carbon dioxide. Are you willing to take your money out of their banks? Are you willing to look at where you buy your clothes and buy them made in the USA? Are you willing to support locally grown food co-ops? Cooperatives are important, and or community gardens. Buy your food locally. Are you willing to start re-educating yourself in areas that you may not have skills so that you in the future have a way of bartering, fair exchange, to join groups and to share what you can do and or will learn to do for better quality of life? Are you willing to vote for independent candidates who have platforms that are very specifically spelled out that are more democratic and stop voting for the Democrat or Republican Party candidates? Are you willing to no longer engage in the learning process from the mainstream media, instead begin to focus upon alternative media for different insights, different commentaries, different points of view? If you were able to do that, it would be a much better world. And my hope is that we'll be able to do that with a majority of the people in the next 5 years. Thank you all for listening. I'm Gary Knoll. Let's say hello to Utrice Lead. Hi, Utrice.
Hi, Gary. Today we're talking about young people opting out of voting. Is it time for us, too, to say no? And it was a historic march for climate change, but a troubling atmosphere.
I agree. We were there. Almost 2,200 members of my audience joined us in that march, and I'm very pleased about that. I think BAI had about 70 in its group down there. And the question is, when are you coming to New York City to meet the people who are wanting to see you and hear you talk?
In fact, I will talk with you about that today after the program.
Great. We look forward to that. Utrice Lead right now.
Lately, you've been starting to lose.